Welcome back to the podcast, Growth and Jams fans. Today I'm joined by local San Antonio artist and good friend, Brian Planets. We're here today to discuss the highly anticipated single of his, Grape from the Vine, dropping this week on all platforms. We also discuss comparison, insecurity, faith, and his creative inspiration. I hope you enjoy the show today. Welcome, Brian. I'm excited to have you here, buddy. Why don't you just start with a little introduction into who you are, what you do, what you're passionate about.
All right. My name's Brian. I'm a producer down here in San Antonio. I'm also a recording artist. I write, engineer, mix, produce, obviously. And I'm real passionate about making great music and like providing listening experiences to the best of my ability.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big piece of who I am, and very passionate about like performing arts, I'd say.
Yeah, that's awesome. I saw recently you did your first show, correct?
Yeah, well, it's not my first. I'd say it's the first one under Brian Planets, probably, because when I was going by Pyramoon, I was doing DJ shows, and I would also perform like a super small venues, like at vintage resale shops. I like performed a song before. I actually think you saw that one, maybe.
Yeah, that one was cool. I actually really liked the vibe going on. It was like a close-knit community, and the lights were awesome. Like, I actually really liked it. I would prefer that, honestly, to like a giant festival or something, because it's more personal, not as many people.
Yeah, that was super cool. I would definitely love to do like small shows like that again, just because that was the first time me and my friend had been like producing that song for a couple weeks. Up to that point, we'd been like recording on it, and I had like made the beat, and he had added on a lot of keys to it, and we put a sample on that song. That song was really cool, actually. It got lost in like someone's hard drive. I think it's on my old like laptop somewhere, but it had a lot of potential at that time. That was like maybe two summers ago, and like I wish we would have just completed a mixtape, but you know, life got in the way, and we had a lot of other things going on at the time.
Yeah, but definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
When did you get into music in terms of actually pursuing production and becoming an artist? I think a lot of people have it as kind of like a side gig for a long time or of an idea. But when did you fully start pursuing that, would you say?
As soon as I started producing, I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Like, I never really saw it as a hobby, because I already knew what my end goal was. Probably like right when I got into college, though, is when I started making beats, actually. When I started fully producing beats and tracks and stuff like that. And I was like, these are definitely really good. I see where I can go with this and what I want to do already. So probably early on in college. And I mean, I didn't really get good, so I don't know. It's hard to say. It was ups and downs. It was like kind of a roller coaster of progress.
Yeah.
And I've always been my hardest critic, so it's easy for me to say like, oh, I wasn't very good at this point, when I could have shown someone something and they would have been like, oh, this is crazy, you know?
Yeah, I can get behind that notion for sure. I think a lot of people are definitely harder on themselves than most other people would be. Would you say that's a pretty hard part of music in general, is just, you know, being vulnerable
Definitely.
And putting yourself out there in that regard?
I think so. Being really hard on yourself, because some people are so hard on themselves that they won't see anything through, because it just turns into a whole bunch of self-doubt, which, you know, everyone struggles with self-doubt. It's just a matter of seeing things through anyways and like fighting through it. So
that's really true, though. I really appreciate that sentiment. Who would you say as an artist is someone that you draw, you know, incredible inspiration from?
Dude, listening to Rodeo, like, I still listen to all the Rodeo, like, all the time. So I think that Travis is, like, the coolest artist ever. But I really see a lot of, like, Kanye and myself, like, and a lot of, like Cudi and a lot of, like, Gambino and stuff like that. Obviously, the Travis influence is always going to be there. But Mike Dean, really the list goes on, because I really like to explore and like take from everything I can hear. I was always really inspired by like live music too, and watching people play instruments. That really played into my production. I was like, how do I would watch people, their rhythm as they play, and try to implement that into recreating instruments virtually, and be like, so how does it feel natural to play this instrument or play these drums, and like just try to and implement it, like I said. And that was like a big part of production for me. So watching live music is always like super dope.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think there's very few things in this world that, you know, get my heart going or like emotionally touch me in the way that seeing shows live does. So definitely like the pandemic has been rough, because I haven't been to a show in like a year now. And I think every year I was going to at least like 10 shows. So it's crazy.
That's so live. That's super cool. Like something I've always, something that I feel lucky about is that I get to talk with musicians that I've known for a long time. Like, and that's something I like to do, is like get to know instrumentalists, people that play the piano, people that play guitar, people that sing, you know, producers, obviously, engineers, obviously, but really people in other areas that maybe they play bass guitar or something like that, and talking to them about music and watching them play, because it's just, it's dope.
Yeah, drawing from all those experiences, I'm sure,
yeah,
creates a lot of inspiration for you. In regards to that, you know, music is kind of glamorized as this like all-encompassing art form where like all these different people are involved. Would you say it's different behind the scenes when you're making music? Like, it's a very isolating thing, or would you say that there is still like a lot of people involved in that?
There's so many different paths to go down. It varies, because it is very isolating. When you choose for it to be so. For me personally, as like a independent, there's been a lot of isolating moments, especially since I'm recording myself and mixing myself and writing everything and then making the beats from start to finish. Like, it's a lot of fun to collab with people, depending on the chemistry, and it's also an experience to do it alone. But a lot of people go to the studio and they have a recording engineer, and then maybe they'll take it to another engineer. They might have a producer that they work with, you know, like maybe they get to sit down with their producers. Like, the way some albums are recorded is that the artist will rent like a whole house, right, for a couple months, and they'll bring in several producers for the whole entirety and several engineers, and then they'll bring in other artists too. And that is like a full collaborative thing. Like, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is very famous for Kanye. It was like, he had so many people work on that album. And he had people coming in suits and ties to treat it like a work day. But it really just depends on the artists and their opportunities. If they have the opportunity to work with recording engineers and studios, they have that extra company in the room to like help the vibe, or, you know, even draw back from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. What would you say is the, I guess, the hardest part about making music? Like, do you ever experience burnout, or, you know, lack of inspiration, you know, creative deadlocks type of thing?
Yeah, I noticed that comes a lot from lack of confidence sometimes, but there's a lot of tough parts to it. Being vulnerable, like, even with this release, I just have to see it through. I'm very self-conscious because, you know, I'm kind of just putting out my work, which is totally up for subjective experiences. It is tough, like, for sure. Talking about this this project, like, I've been working on it all year, really, since maybe March or February, because the song kept building up over time. I knew I had like a solid foundation, because I recorded like a hook. I had sat on this hook and this beat for a while, and then I went through like some more life, and I came back to it and was like, oh, I'm going to add a verse here, and I'm going to add like something here and here, and just keep structuring the song. And, you know, if I had more than one ear in mind, like working on it with me, like a recording engineer, I think maybe it would have gone down differently. I don't know if it would have been easier or harder to make the song, or if the song would have come out completely different. But that would have been one way, having someone else on it would affect it. But mixing it took a long ass time. I took it to like two different engineers and wasn't really super satisfied. Shout out to Saint and shout out to Jason. They definitely came through on what I asked them to do. So I took pieces of their mixes and put it back into mine, because there was some stuff I did originally that I felt like got skewed out of the way or overlooked in their mixes. So I wanted to bring the best of everyone's work together. Shout out to Favorite too for helping me mix some of it. It took me forever to master it, actually, because I remember showing you one of the rough drafts and there are pieces where it's like ear piercing, you know. But the like distortion and quality of sound is still there. Like, it's still very filling. It's just like the feeling is there. It's just a matter of like taming that distortion and keeping it in the song. But even now, I've been talking about like totally re-recording the song and remixing it and adding like more post-production to it and putting that out on a bigger project, like having it as a piece of like a album sort of, because that's like a big goal of mine, is to make an album that you go from one song to the next song and it hits and it's an experience. Something I'm really excited to do, but I have to be super patient about and keep working towards. Yeah, that's something I'm hoping this putting out this project will help me do, is maybe open some doors for others to come in and help me build a bigger project, because it took me a long time to like do this one song. And I really like to make high quality things at a faster rate, have a quicker turnover without losing any of the quality.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's like a huge goal of mine, because it takes me a long time to get things how I want. And hopefully I can show people like my ideas with this, and so people will be more trusting and listening and listen more acutely to my feedback when I'm in the studio with them. And I share an idea, they're more willing to be like, oh, okay, like I kind of get what you did there. So this is what you're trying to do here. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Music is one of those things where I feel like it's hard for, you know, different creatives to be in the same room and understand the feel or like what you want something to hear like, because only you hear something a certain way, or you know what it's supposed to sound like. And like putting that into words, very difficult in terms of, you know, it being such an abstract thing. But something that I have a lot of admiration for, especially when it comes to people like that have made it thus far, that are like you, you know, starting from point A and then finishing at point, you know, Z, having done pretty much everything on your own up until that point, is like, I think Russ does that, which he gets a bad rap for being, you know, a specific type of artist, but he really is involved in like all the processes. So it's like really cool that you're able to do that and put that work into it and still come out with a very quality product. For the listeners that don't really understand what we're talking about, Brian is releasing a song. Why don't you share that song title with them, when that's going to be dropping, and, you know, a little bit of the thought process behind the song, the meaning of it, and I guess the sound that you were trying to capture.
So the name of the song is Grape from the Vine. It's going to drop on December 23rd. It's a big song for me. Like, I got to work with one of my favorite producers in the city on it, Oh God DC. He just had this perfect vibe on this track he produced, and he kind of gave me free rein with it to do post-production on it, do like add some of my own to it on top of me recording over it and all that. I just like to really express myself melodically. I really love that, and I like interrupting it with flows and stuff. I was just trying to push myself with this track as far as I could go, and I knew at the beginning that I had an idea for where I wanted it to go. And I think a lot of people get caught up in that, like we were talking about earlier. I wanted to play off something you said, having an abstract. You were saying something like having an abstract idea, right?
Yeah. Kind of putting that into concrete terms for other people.
Exactly. And, you know, that's something that I like struggled with. I would always make something that was small, right? Like, you start with like one step. And as like the creator, you start with this one step. And you might already see it at the Z location, but it's not there yet. It's still at point A, right? And then you show other people, and you might be showing other people just for like, I don't know, maybe for feedback or something like that. But the thing is, they might only see it as the point A thing. They see it as what it is. They don't see that it's going to go somewhere else. And so keeping that Z product in mind when you have just the baby step of A, knowing you have to build on it, that's hard to do for a lot of people. They might quit at step Q, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or they might get to, you know, halfway there, and they show you in, you know, they might share that not finished product, which, like, I totally understand. You're not, like, a lot of people advise against, like, showing unfinished products, but when it's, like, to your close friends and all that, and you're just playing these ideas because you need to keep building on them, mm-hmm. and you want to, like, see other people's reactions to what you have so far, that's my advice to creators, is just don't let go of that end idea, even if you're getting feedback that's like, this isn't going anywhere, like, because they're only going to see you for what it is. If you know you can keep working on this product and finish it out, you need to mm-hmm. finish it out. Like, you have to see it through. If you hear it in your head how you want it and it's not there yet, you have to keep working on it, or keep building, keep going at it, be persistent, you know, keep fighting. Because you see where it's going to go, so you can definitely create it.
Yeah. What are some of the emotions that you feel right now leading up to finally being able to release to, you know, people everywhere?
Man, I'm anxious.
Anxious?
I've been procrastinating, like, setting up my profiles on Spotify and all that. So I'm like, oh, I don't have a good landing page right now. Yeah, I'm just, like, I feel a little irresponsible for not getting on top of that. I feel like I'm rushing it, but I know that I've been working on it for a long time. So I'm also a little uncertain. I'm like, am I rushing it? I don't know. At the same time, I'm very excited. Like, I think the biggest emotion is excitement. I get to share this with people who have supported me for a long time, whether they've already heard it or not. I'm just excited that they can go on Spotify and listen to it now. And that's something I'm really excited about. I'm also excited to just, like, move on a little bit, like, mm-hmm. and keep going at this stuff and making more music, because I just think there's bigger and better projects on the way, like, just more music, man, more creative stuff.
Man, I'm excited for you. That's huge. I'm lucky that I was, you know, I was able to hear it in one of its intermediate stages, and I really liked the ideas that you had going. It had a lot of sounds that have always drawn me to certain artists. Like, I think I told you it sounded a little bit like Young Lean. And then it has, you know, some Travis Scott vibes to it, influence on there. And those are two people that I really admire in the hip-hop industry for definitely cultivating a sound that is very outside the box. And I think all the music that you've created so far that you've shared with me and with the public has been very outside that box as well. So I'm glad that you're doing that, that you're pushing that box and, you know, creating that sound for yourself. It's really exciting, and it's something that I wish that I could have done, because I really wanted to get into music production. But it was one of those things where it's like, you really have to be all in or not in at all to succeed at something.
I think that's a misconception though too, because you can have your hand in every pie and enjoy what you want out of it. Like, you already have, I guess it depends what your end goal is. Are you doing it for cathartic reasons? Like, mm-hmm. if you're really interested in production for cathartic reasons, I think you should get GarageBand or Logic or whatever you want and start playing with keyboards, start playing with drums. You know, music's always there for you at any point in life. So exercise your emotions and express yourself. For me, what I want is to be able to, like, execute my creative ideas freely at a super high quality level. And mm-hmm. I think the only way to do that is to, like, push and push and drive and drive and just keep going. Cause, you know, like, I just have, like, I always come up with new ideas every day, and I'm like, you know what? I can do that and I can do this. It's going to take this to get there, to, like, have those resources to execute it at this level. Because that's my ideas. Like, I want to execute my, like, craziest ideas just to broaden people's scopes, possibilities of expression. And I want to express myself however I want, whenever I want, to the scale that I want to, on the level of quality that I want to. You know, that's just something that I'm, like, passionate about. Like, breathing fire. I just want to breathe fire, you know? I don't know.
That's awesome, man. Something that I think I get a lot of from you, especially from, you know, following you on Instagram, stuff like that. You talk a lot about faith and I guess the role of God's timing and things in presenting opportunities. I guess talk about what that means to you in terms of music, but just, I guess, general life outlook as well.
Man, you know, I just kind of post things without really thinking about what other people see it, because I really just post self-reminders, like, and I use Instagram and Twitter and social media, like, as my, like, mood boards, almost. Like, mm-hmm. social media just kind of become mood boards for me. I mean, that's why I'm always posting music, but when I talk about faith and God's timing, it's really about being able to let go and know that God has a plan for you. And when you really, like, give praise to Him and you really trust in Him, He comes through more for you than you can come through for yourself. That's something I notice a lot. Like, anytime, like, I really, really turn to God, it might not be within the hour, you know, but I notice a lot of, like, manifestations is too specific to say. But, like, presence is also too specific. But there's definitely something there. I don't know. Maybe people will write that off as, like, a placebo effect or something. But I genuinely have faith. Like, I've always had, I had to really lean on God in early years of my life because I went through some traumatic experiences early on. I mean, I turned to God. So one thing I always told myself growing up is that, like, I had to have faith if I wanted to see people I lost again, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so I've always had faith for that because there's just people I want to see on the other side, you know? There's just so much that God can do for you. Just have faith. I mean, I was talking about this with my friend, too. I think of God as, like, the most sovereign, right? So I'm still a scientist, too, because I'm an engineer. I study engineering, so I understand how things are created and that it's very likely that the Big Bang and all that. But to me, there's still God. Outside of that, outside of science, like, in my eyes, He created science. He created the way things work. And just because we're figuring out how things work doesn't mean that doesn't prove anything against Him in my eyes. Yeah. Like, the further we go in, the more we're just seeing how intricately He made things, if that makes sense.
That's really well put, I would say. I think that's a common misconception, actually, with thinking that God and science can't coexist. But I think they're meant to coexist, and it just, like you said, like, shows you into the mind of God, or shows you into how He created all of this. And I think, that was really wonderfully said. I like that.
Yeah, it's something I've always thought. So that's something I'd like to spread too.
Back to your point earlier about, like, I think you touched on manifestation and presence. And I think the way that I see it, it almost feels like a current within life that kind of, like, you can feel. I don't know. It's not something that you can see, or it's not tangible, but yeah, you feel like a current pulling you in a certain direction or pushing you in a certain direction.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
wow.
That's the way that I see it.
No, that's, like, perfect, to be honest. I actually read a book called The Power of Now, and it talks about being present and just saying, you know, within the moment, the power of now and all that. And it talks about God a little bit. And it's like, maybe when you call Him God, you're putting all these preconceived notions that you learned growing up on Him, when, like, He might be something bigger than that even. And they kind of put it as, like, He might just be the highest energy or frequency, you know, as high as you can. Because, you know, it would only be, like, infinity plus infinity.
I like that. I think the more that we try and put our finger on what, who, whom God is, the harder it is, right? Like, you can't put something so outside of our world of knowledge on your finger. You can't sum it up easily.
I think it's really good to let things go like that. Like, people really want to nail down what they have to have things within their boundaries of understanding. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they can't accept that there are things totally outside that spectrum. And that it's actually comforting knowing that there's a lot that you don't know and you won't know. There's a lot you'll never know. And even for me, someone that, like, has to keep collecting knowledge and information, like, I'm an information fiend. Like, I'll just read Wikipedia articles till, like, 6 a.m. And then I'll be like, oh, go down rabbit holes of information. Uh-huh. And it's still comforting knowing there are things that I'll never understand or know or experience. And I really don't have to. Like, I don't have to understand everything. And I think that plays back into God's timing as well.
Yeah.
Because, I want answers now. Is this stuff good? What is this consider? Where am I going with this? But God's timing is it's going to work out the way it's going to work out in your best favor if you keep that faith. And what's meant to be will be. And you just kind of got to keep accepting things and moving forward.
I agree. Yeah. I think it's also really important to not, because I'm like a really anxious person. I didn't realize I was a very anxious person until recently.
Me too.
But I'm super anxious, and I think something that's been hard for me, but that I'm working on, is embracing uncertainty. And like it goes back to that point of, the power of now, being present in the moment. And I think that plays a lot into anxiety in the first place, is wanting to move to the next thing and wanting to know the next thing. But being able to take a step back and just be where you are and understand that life is happening at this very moment. And life isn't always centered in the future, which is part of the problem that I have.
That's why I was so excited to come on your podcast, because I knew we would get to, no, I didn't know, but I'm just glad we got to this conversation, because, man, same. Even now, as I'm speaking, I'm thinking about perception of myself and all that stuff, and trying to accept it simultaneously, trying to be as genuine as I can be. And just going through that explanation, I know I'm already overthinking it, and that I kind of just have to let things go.
Yeah. It's hard being a human, man. When you really think about it, this is a complex life, and it's not easy. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but do you ever think about the decisions that you make, whether that be past, present, or future, and just think about how all those decisions web into millions of different outcomes at different places in time?
I saw that graph you posted where it was kind of you're here and it keeps going up and down.
Yeah.
And that kind of reminds me of what you're talking about right now. I think about my decisions every moment. It's so hard to be present sometimes. It's difficult keeping your thoughts in check all the time and not letting things overwhelm you. Another thing that I kind of came to be self-aware about is that I communicate a lot better when I write things down, because talking freely, my mind and thoughts are going crisscross. They're intersecting and taking left and right turns as I speak. But when I write things down to communicate with people, I know where I started and how to keep a point and refer back and be more concerned about what it is I want to communicate. So that's something I've been trying to do more, just write things down. I feel like I communicate better in text messages than I do speaking aloud, because my thoughts and emotions interrupt what I say live. It's pretty unfiltered when you're just speaking.
Yeah.
But when you're writing things down, you can really filter through and see what's necessary to say. And I don't know, writing just helps keep me present too. It's something I enjoy as well. It's super creative. I guess I'm going to go on a route talking about creativity. But even in high school, I noticed writing down, just writing in general, is free realm. I was in a creative writing club, I guess, with Mr. Stevens. I don't know if you had Mr. Stevens.
Yeah, he was awesome.
But I was in his creative writing club. It wasn't even creative writing. We were supposed to research books and write things. But I would just write creative stories instead. Most of the prompts were summarize what happened in this chapter, but since I knew it wasn't for a grade, it was just a participation club, I would just start writing my own story. And see, that's so cool. You can make your own world when you're writing on paper. You can create the details and build a world, build environments, build people, build characters, build things that never existed. That's so cool to me with music too. You can just totally create soundscapes, worlds. Production to me is building scenery in a show or something, or in a movie. Those sounds kind of put you somewhere, outer space. You might be in the mountains or valleys or something. And then once lyrics come on and there's the artist, that's kind of the character within the scene, which is, I think, is something that is so cool. I don't know, you can totally world build when you're being creative. And that's something I'm excited to do in the future. One day I want to direct movies and stuff. I know it sounds super broad, and sometimes it's hard for me to talk about this stuff because they are dreams right now and they're not tangible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, that Z location. But it's the type of thing I'd love to do. Performance art, creative world building, putting all those things together, tying all the art worlds together, and putting out products for people to enjoy and experience and express themselves in. That's why I love video games and movies and books and music and art in general. You can go put yourself in that world and express yourself and imagine things and like build on other people's worlds and bring them into your own or add yourself to theirs.
Yeah, I like the way that you talked about that. That was really good. I like that. I mean, it's really cool being able to see into your mind, be able to understand where you come from, because I think that's really important. Most people don't get to see that when it comes to any people in general, but it's really cool that you're able to convey exactly how you think.
Thank
you. Know?
You. Yeah, it's not really easy to convey things, though. But yeah, that's also like part of it. That's the production part. Kanye even said this, like, if you can... He said this in that interview when you're where he's like, I like some of the Gaga songs, but what you know about cameras? He's like, that's what he's saying when he's saying, if you can communicate the product, he's saying, like, if you can convey these ideas and put them out there, like, if you can take it from this abstract world and make it a little more tangible, or at least communicate it to the point that someone else can visualize it, and then they can make it tangible or something like that. I think that's what he was talking about there.
I agree. Yeah, I think musicians in general, whatever part of the project they're a part of, I think they don't get enough credit for how much they actually do for the consumer. I think music has just gotten to a point where it's like, commercialized, yes, of course, but to the point where it seems easy from the outside. It seems like it's something that just happens very fast. But I think a lot of thought goes into all music.
I'm so excited about these lyrics that I put into this song because I spent a lot of time on them. And you know, on the first listen, you're probably going to be digesting more of the soundscape of it, more so than the words. And you're going to, maybe you'll even be listening more from a critical standpoint and be like, doesn't necessarily fit with the sample. You know, you might be listening for catchiness. You might be listening for something to hum or something like that. But I'm going to probably put the lyrics out because it was actually inspired by a sermon that I had heard on Elevation Church on Spotify. They have this podcast. And I heard T.D. Jakes talking to Stephen Furtick about crushing power. And that's what I wanted to translate into this song, is this concept of being crushed from a fruit into wine, really. Like, that's what grapes go through. It's like, you might be a grape in God's vineyard and he takes it, and then you go through life, you struggle through certain things and you survive, you keep fighting, you see things through, and that makes you a more potent person, more effective person, because these experiences that you endure and you go through and you see through and you fight through, because of your completion of experiences, you become wine. So that's really what I was trying to go through with this song. The whole experience of building the song made me so much more of a better creative musician, artist, made me a better person just seeing this thing through. Despite what people might think of the products, like, I know that someone out there is going to listen to it and really enjoy it. But someone had to remind me of that a couple years ago, my friend Favor. When I met him, I was producing and I was kind of forcing myself to produce. Like, I didn't know anybody that actively enjoyed my music. Like, I knew I was making beats that I enjoyed, that I thought were super creative. And I knew I was pushing myself creatively. But it wasn't until I met this guy studying for a logic design class, and we ended up hanging out, and I showed him my beats, and his reaction to listening to my work made me realize there are people that are going to listen to this and totally see what you're trying to do. They're going to get it. They're going to really enjoy it, and they're going to get inspired by it. And, you know, like, that was something I needed at that time to level up again.
Mm-hmm.
I feel real blessed for having that experience, that I got to see someone in front of my face was like, dude, do you know what you're doing? Like, you do know what you're doing.
You know? Yeah. It's kind of so, just that like external affirmation that like,
yeah,
I'm supposed to be doing this. And
I wish I could always have it internally, you know, like, I wish I only needed that internal validation, but as a human, sometimes I need that external affirmation.
That's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's cool, honestly, just to hear the all across from the song to, you know, that experience that you had with your friend. All that's very critical and important in becoming who you are as an artist and becoming who you are as a person. And I like what you said, leveling up too.
Yeah, man, that's the most exciting part. That's the most exciting part is leveling up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can't wait to get to New Game Plus, you know? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could really talk all day. I'm not even going to lie.
I'm enjoying it, man. But just any big topics that you want to hit on or that you feel is left out in any way that you want to convey?
So I brought up school to you. One of the reasons I'm really insecure about talking about school is that there's a lot of reasons. And some of them I'm still trying to pinpoint to this day why I feel so strange about my experience with college. Going into college, I faced a lot of rejection from a lot of avenues in my life, like that I'm thankful for now, because I wouldn't have been put on this creative path had I not experienced all these rejections. But even up till now, I feel like I've dropped the ball in several areas of school as far as like whether or not I should make it a priority for who I am, because I know as a person, I don't need it necessarily. I totally respect school, though. I really do enjoy the aspects of what I'm learning. I don't necessarily enjoy the work, and I don't know if it's totally necessary for me to do the work with what my current goals are. But one thing that makes me insecure is comparison. That's something that as an artist, like a lot of, even just everybody compares themselves, or they might build a habit of comparing themselves, or, you know, they catch themselves comparing themselves to someone else that they respect, or they even look down upon and they think better of them. So they feel superior all of a sudden because they compare themselves to someone else, or they feel less than because they're not on the same exact path as someone else. And, you know, having my biggest influences is like Cudi, Kanye, Travis, all these badasses. Like, I always question my confidence and who I am as a person because these people, you know, they dropped out and they went headlong into what they're going to do. Not that I'm not going headlong anyways. Like, I am definitely all in with this stuff, regardless of the fact that I've still kept up and taken some classes. Like, I still like go to school here and there, but that's somewhere else I dropped the ball, is I'm like, I'm not a full-time student all the time. Even right now, I'm not enrolled for next semester. Last semester, I only took like one class. And the semester, a couple semesters before that, I was only part-time, really just as I was trying to go all in on this and like learning engineering. There's like this analogy of Odin learning the runes, where he like traded his life energy to get knowledge, and that was the trade. And that's really how it is with school, I believe. When you're trying to learn all these concepts and do all this math and all this craziness, like, you're really trading all this time and energy. And for me, who's someone who's creative, like, I get that I'm receiving knowledge, but this is the knowledge that I want to apply. This is the knowledge that I want to apply right now in my life. I should be trading this life energy towards like my creative pursuits and the things I really want to see through, that are all these visions I have now. So that's like something that makes me mad and insecure about school. I'm like, I'm so uncertain about the decisions I've made with it, as far as sticking with it and not. Like, the thing about it is that you're saying it's because it's real as applicable knowledge. And I kind of do like the idea of learning what I'm learning, but the reason I'm going so slow and haven't quit all the way is because it's knowledge that I want to use later in life. If I could do everything the way I wanted to do it right now, is, you know, I would go 100% doing this music and then finish this degree on my own terms with my own funds when I'm at a creative point that I've had several albums seen through, or at least like one album seen through, that I was like, you know what, I kind of got to this point that I really wanted to get to. And my next goal is to finish school, because I know that I can use that knowledge to do even more. And I'll also be at a point where I can kind of invest myself and fund myself to go through with it at my own pace. So that way, maybe I can keep building another album and taking more part-time classes. My college is paid for by my parents, which I'm very blessed for. But also, it creates an immense amount of pressure from them on me to kind of make school a priority over music, which it's just not gonna happen. Like, yeah. I literally wouldn't sleep at night. I can't sleep at night with that type of mentality. So to put my creative pursuits behind anything is just not me, you know? It mm-hmm. creates like a dissonance in my head. So
cognitive dissonance, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. That one. Yeah.
I really appreciate you sharing all that. I think it's really takes a lot of courage to share all that stuff, especially with, you know, with people that have never known you, never have been welcomed inside of your mind. But I think it's all very valid information. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. I think a lot of people struggle with, you know, putting their own pursuits first in this life. And I think that's really important that, yeah, there is external pressure. I've had external pressure in my life as well to do certain things a certain way. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it is your life and you have to live your life in accordance with what you want to do. And
yeah. I totally agree. Because there's things I want to do now that I just don't have a pragmatic enough plan for. I really want to like move out to one of these cities off a whim. Like, that's kind of a dream of mine, is to just hop out to a city. But every time I've tried to do that, I've ended up sleeping in my truck or on someone's couch for a couple of days. And, you know, then I'm like, shit, I got to go. Like, I got to go get myself back together. Like, I can't I can't use this person like that. Or I can't really stay in this area for this amount of time. I've tried to jump out to Houston a couple of times and, you know, like I have family out there, but their whole thing is like, are you in school? Like, what are you doing out here? And I'm like, dude, this is Music City right now. Like, this is music of, this is the new, like, LA, Atlanta. Like, I still hop out to Houston as often as I can because, like, I love that vibe. Like, I really like the engineers out there. I really like the artistry, like, of the city is so unique. And I feel like it's very relatable to someone that's from South Texas. Like, being from San Antonio, I go over to Houston and I see a lot of parallels to other cities in Texas that I grew up, you know, and I grew up going to Houston too. Like, I've always had family out there, but I don't know, like, I just think it'd be mad cool to be out there making music and making moves because it's lit.
Yeah.
But I've also had like some pretty lucky breaks already just going there just to get my name around and get some time in out there. So it makes me want to move there, but it's also pretty convenient that we're only 3 hours away and I don't mind driving because that's what I make music for anyways, to listen to in the car. Like, that was like where it started for me. It was like listening to like crazy bass lines in my Toyota growing up. So I would go home and make some crazy drums and then just export them and go get in my car and like turn it all the way up and just like, you know, like drive around with like the drums, like, in the back of, like, because I had a little sub in my, it's so much fun just being ignorant, but it's fun as hell.
I like that. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap this bad boy up?
Dude, thank you so much for having me. Ever since you started a podcast, I was like, I gotta be on there, like, I gotta go talk to him for sure. Hey, but Brian Planet's like gonna be legendary for the people. That sounds so cheesy, but I really want to do this for those that really enjoy it. Like, I want to keep creating for people. So yeah, great from the vine. Thank you so, like, really appreciate this opportunity.
Of course, man. I'll link your music when it drops. I'm really excited to hear the finished product, and I'm really excited to hear all that you put out, all that you do with your life, you know, as an artist, as a person. I'm thankful to have you as a friend. I appreciate you coming on today. I really appreciate this conversation that we've had, and something that you said earlier, I just feel blessed, honestly.
Amen. Me too. Thank you. Love you, man.
Thank you for listening to another successful episode of the Growth and Jams podcast. We are brought to you by 1718 Media. If you feel so obliged, please feel free to leave us a rating on whatever podcast app you are listening to. Also, feel free to check us out on social media at Growth and Jams. I look forward to releasing more episodes, and thank you again for listening.